Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Song from like 84 by a group called Rat.
Oh, it's Rat.
R-A-T-T. And I hadn't heard this in like 20 years. And this stupid thing got stuck in my head driving into work this morning, and I couldn't get it out of my head.
It's a great song.
I mean,
this is when the hair era,
right?
The teased hair. What's that, Tawny Katan and all them other
folks?
Yeah,
White Snake
and
all that.
Yeah, all that. Whipping the hair around. This is when, like, we didn't have, like, the mullet, the brothers. What we had was called shag. You remember the shag one. It was like a mullet, but it was for black people.
Mm-hmm,
where you had, yeah, it's like you had it short in the front, but then in the back you had like a big old, like a mini, like half moon afro. That was one of the worst haircuts you could possibly wear. Yeah, small front yard with a big
Clemson backyard. Was singing this song yesterday, Round and Round. You know, I knew right from the beginning that you would end up winning. Anyway, did LSU have one of the greatest seasons in the history of college football? Ed Orgeron said, well, it was one of the best seasons in LSU history. No, coach. No. It was the best season in LSU history. And the proof of that is, I'm sitting around this morning. One of the discussions that college football fans have here is, what was the greatest season in college football history? And a lot of it centers around two teams, 1995 Nebraska and 2001 Miami. Tommy Frazier's Nebraska Cornhuskers, which just decimated Florida in the Fiesta Bowl and was an unstoppable beast that was.
Mm-hmm.
And 2001 Miami, which beat Nebraska in the Rose Bowl. And that Miami team, oh, my God, Sean Taylor, Ed Reed, it went on. You know, I mean,
they had some beasts.
Vince Wilfork, you know, I mean, on and on and on. I mean, there's a stud after stud. Their tight ends were Jeremy Shockey and Kellen Winslow Jr.
Yeah.
Their running backs were Willis McGahee and Frank Gore.
Yeah.
I mean, they were too deep at every single position.
Yeah.
I mean, they were incredibly good. And so this team, though, it'll be interesting to see what kind of pros they turn into, because here's the tweet I sent out. Did LSU have the greatest season in college football history? 15-0, SEC West, SEC champions, Heisman winner, 7-0 against teams ranked in the top 9. Now, I don't know. I don't have an Elias Sports book in front of me or any of the stats. I don't think anybody's ever gone 7-0 against teams ranked in the top 9. And by the way, 5 of those 7 wins were away from Baton Rouge, either road games or neutral site games. They beat number 9 Texas by 7, number 7 Florida by 14, number 9 Auburn by 3, number 3 Alabama by 5, number 4 Georgia by 27, number 4 Oklahoma by 35, and number 3 Clemson by 17. And they got better as the season went along. That is, that's a resume that I think that this team this year can put up against anybody at any point in the history of the game. It's that good.
I would agree. I mean, you know, you sit back and you watch this game. You look at what Joe Burrow was able to do. And the first thing that I got up this morning, I asked Abe and I asked Orin, I said, is it hyperbole to sit there and say that this is probably the greatest single season college football effort ever? And we're sitting around and we're talking about it, and it's like, it's hard to say. I mean, there's a lot of football that's been played in a lot of years, but man, when you talk about what they were able to do and just how they sprinted through the college football rankings, that was pretty amazing. And you look at Clemson is no pushover. Like, I mean, that's proven last night the way that they played.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that
they just beat Ohio State.
Man,
right,
come on. Come on. I mean, Joe Burrow couldn't do any wrong. You're talking about throwing guys open. He was on target. That's why I cannot wait to see what this young man is going to look like in the pros. You know he's going to struggle. You know the game is going to be different for him. But he's been in some big moments this year, and none bigger than the one that he was in last night. And he showed a whole lot of poise. He showed a lot of poise, John Fricke. So I don't know if it's hyperbole. It would probably I know when you talk about great college football seasons, you're gonna have to talk about this LSU season.
Keith in Golden and Woodstock, he texted on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line today. A question for you and Hugh. What would it take? Who would you take, Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson? Jackson 20 days younger. Jackson does play, and this is going to be where the comparisons will start to come in, on a much better football team, obviously, than Joe's going to go play on in Cincinnati. Now, Joe will have A.J. Green. He will have Ross. He will have some other good players. I would assume that Cincinnati, with all these great wide receivers in the draft, oh, I know that A.J. Green's a free agent, but A.J. Green doesn't want to go back and play with Joe Burrow now?
It all depends. Yeah. You know, he might be sick of being in Cincinnati.
It may be. That Cincinnati would use the second round. It's possible they could go right into the top of the second round and use it for a receiver.
I was about to say, John, do you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, agent, and we were talking about like another teammate of mine when I played in college. His son's coming out. He wants to come out, and he's a receiver. And, you know, he's in school. He had a pretty good year. And I asked my agent friend, you know, I told him about him, and he said, well, does he run a 4.4? No, he said, does he run a 4.2? I was like, no, he runs a 4.4. You need to tell him to stay in school because there's a plethora of good receivers coming out this year.
Yeah, there's at least 10, and so much so that Jamar Chase is going back to school because he's like, yeah,
when he told him that, he's like, yeah, man, you might as well just stay in school.
So. You know, Jamar's like, okay, I think I'm pretty good, and obviously last night he was pretty good. But the question is, if you stop and think about let's take the last 20 years of college football, and I know that you could pick any period of time. You could pick the 6 years of the playoff, or you could pick 10 years, or you could pick 20, you could pick 50. But I'm just going to go to this century. I'm just going to use that, okay, for this. Alabama, of the last 20 years, Alabama, because Clemson didn't win last night, Alabama is probably just a tick ahead of Clemson, okay? And so I would rank Alabama number one over the last 20 years. I would rank Clemson number two. I don't know. It's pretty close, but I would say that maybe LSU now has vaulted Hugh to that third spot. This is their third national title in the last 20 years.
Yeah, John, but this is the reality when it comes to LSU. What are they going to be next year? Joe Burrow gone. Joe Burrow's gone. Now, that offense has evolved, but who's the quarterback?
Well, that's a good question. So, next. They have on their roster, Marty Brennan, who was a highly recruited four-star quarterback. They're getting a four-star quarterback coming in this year named Max Johnson. But there's a lot of people who are speculating, they're just speculating, that De'Ara King, the star quarterback from Houston, who quit after four games last year, if he's looking around and he's looking
might
for a team.
Might want to go to LSU.
You got Jamar Chase, you got Terrence Marshall,
LSU. Can I say this too? What LSU did last night and what they were able to capture this year, John, that doesn't happen all the time. Like they'll probably be good.
But Joe Burrow doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that. And the way that he played, that doesn't happen a lot. They caught you talk about the stars lining up for you at the right place at the right time. That's what that was. Whomever comes in and plays at LSU, it's probably going to be a long time before they have that magical season like they had this year. It really is. I cannot see that because, you know, Clemson is going to reload. You listen to Nick Saban last night.
No, Clemson's going to be number one.
Yeah, no question. But you listen to Coach Saban last night, and he was talking about the evolution of the game, and it made me think of you when he said it too, because he said something to the effect that, if you grew up a defensive-minded guy and, you know, you play conservative and you run the ball a lot, and you're playing in this RPOs and these spread offenses and everything, they brought a different dimension. If you don't evolve, you're not going to be able to compete.
Well, I wonder if Kirby heard that.
It made me think of you because I remember us having this debate. But I still hold steadfast when I say that you have to be able to run the ball. You have to be able to run the ball, but you have to incorporate some different philosophies into that offense.
That's what you say, but then Joe Burrow throws for an NCAA record 60 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And they go 15-0 and win the national title.
But also – Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 16 carries, 110 yards.
Oh, no, you have to be able to run the ball some.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not sure that's the number one
weapon. And then think about it like this,
Between Burrow running and Edwards-Helaire running, they ran for 165 yards last night. I mean, it used to be, Hugh, to me, football's flipped, okay? And this is where LSU proves it. Mm-hmm. It used to be you ran the ball to set up play action and set up the pass. Now you pass the ball to set up the run.
But see, let me tell you what happened to that point that you're making last night. Remember early on, they didn't establish the run, and they were trying to throw the ball, and they didn't have that success. But once they started to run the ball a little bit better, that's when it opened up a little bit. And when Joe Burrow took off, that's when the game started to open up a little bit, because now he became a legitimate threat to pull it down and run it. And that, and when you have a quarterback that does that, offensive, defensive coordinators, they get a little hinky, because they don't want to give up them yards, because especially if you're in a man, if you're in a man situation, mm-hmm. everybody has their back to the quarterback,
right?
And he knows that, so only thing he has to do is beat the defensive lineman, and you got at least 10 to 15 yards of free real estate.
And Venables banked on AJ Terrell being able to cover Jamar Chase one on one on the outside in the deep ball, and if he had been able to defend him even on one play. It would have worked, because you were taking away the middle. You were taking away the inside routes that they like to run, taking away the tight end. You were taking away a lot of things from them. Mm-hmm. But Terrell couldn't make a play. And so not even one. I mean, think about it. I mean, he whiffed on the one run, and he got burned three times deep by Jamar Chase. So, you know, if he makes a play, and you know, but he didn't. And as good a corner as A.J. Terrell was, and he was all-conference performer for Clemson, Jamar Chase was just better. And I'll tell you what, Joe Burrow was – there was somebody who tweeted out last night, and Squid just jumped all over this dude. Because this dude – well, that's nothing new. But this dude said, you know, Joe Burrow doesn't make, you know, very good accurate throws. I'm like, are you kidding me? And Squid said, yeah. Because to me, Joe Burrow makes Sunday throws.
Joe Burrow was making Monday Night Football throws last night. He was throwing cats open. Do you know what? Like, this is how my mind works. Forgive me, people. But I was thinking, Joe Burrow went into the French Quarter last night and took somebody's girlfriend. Like, when they were there with their significant other, he took them. Like, hey, you know who I am, Joe Burrow. Hey, let's go hang out. Hey, it's Joe Burrow. I'm out. He took somebody's girlfriend last night. That's what Joe Burrow did.
Pat Mahomes' girlfriend?
We're not going there, John Frickin. I'm not saying nothing.
She became a little viral sensation.
I am not saying nothing about Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend.
I think
she seems like she's a fun person.
ESPN drunk, was that what?
I didn't say none of that. I ain't saying none of that. That's you, not me. Somebody said last night, my petty is rubbing off on you, and I'm starting to believe that to be the case. It's a little bit petty.
Snarky. Hopefully, this is the last time I have to have this song play in my head. Sometimes the only way I get a song out of my head is to actually play the song. Drove me nuts driving in this morning. I wanted to play anything. All right, we'll get into a little bit of the NFL. Speaking of video and what viral videos, did you see Antonio Brown? Oh, my God. I think it's been viewed 11 million times now. 11 million and going up. Get Hugh's thoughts on that one, because I know you were talking about it yesterday. We'll do that next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game and 92onthegame.com. All right, the countdown now on to the AFC and NFC championship games coming up on Sunday. And welcome back to the Kia Studios on this Tuesday. We'll react more to LSU's win over Clemson as the show progresses today, but we do have other things to get to, including the very latest from the National Football League, and the NFL headlines are brought to you by Hartsfield-Jackson. Hartsfield-Jackson, making business travel more rewarding for companies and for employees. You go to atlcorporaterewards.com for more information. It's free and it's easy. I have trouble with this. atlcorporaterewards.com.
Yeah, you just got to slow it down a little bit. I do that all the time. I get the speed and talking fast and sound like, you know, like
yeah,
Air Rocks.
You're not grabbing your cell phone and cursing at the police and videotaping yourself either. So Antonio Brown has made a viral history here.
That was one hell of a segue.
You might end up. I don't know what the record is for most viewed viral video from an athlete is. But last time I got to check to see how many times it's been viewed now. But we can't play any of it for you because it would just be a straight line beep, okay? That's all I could tell you. It was a domestic issue involving his kids, the mother of his kids, his truck, and the police showed up in Hollywood, Florida, and he decided to videotape, and there's about, I don't know, what, 2 minutes or so, Hugh?
Yeah, something like that. That sounds about right, John. And you know what's funny about that video? Well, not funny. Nothing was funny about it. Let me say that. Nothing was funny about the video. But there was a lot going on in that video. And you know what the unfortunate thing is that when Antonio Brown posted that, he gave everybody on social media an opportunity to chime in on his personals. Now, when you read the story, he called the police because he has a restraining order against the children of the mother of his kids.
Right.
And she came, he gave her the permission to come and get some clothes and some other stuff. And per the story, she tried to then take the truck. And he called the cops or whatever. But if you don't have that context, all you see is Antonio Brown calling the mother of his children out of her name, calling the cops out of their name, and throwing a bag of gummy, like, personal parts at the police. Like I said, like, John, there was a whole lot going on in this video. And it allowed everybody to interpret it the way that they wanted to interpret it. Now, if you look at it from the fact that he called the cops and that she was trying to take something of his that, you know, is his, he was well within his rights to call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem lies in this, that, and this is what I don't understand. Antonio Brown has been a lightning rod for drama in the last few months. Is that safe to say?
Last couple of years.
And I would think, as a guy who's been in trouble a few times himself, that when you're trying to get back on track, the one thing that you don't want is negative press.
Especially
at any kind.
The one that you bring upon yourself.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about, like, because you're in a position now where everything that you do, regardless to what it is, if it's not seen as a positive, it's always going to be viewed as a negative. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but that's the case. Like, everything that you've done up until to this point has been viewed as negative. The video that you shot a couple weeks ago or whatever that we cannot play on air because it's just nothing but cuss words, that's seen as a negative.
Throwing furniture outside your, you know,
seen as a
condo.
Negative. Calling the mother of your children names like you did in front of your kids and letting her ride away in a police car, that's seen as a negative, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, you're right to have clarity about what took place here. The problem is when he videotapes it and he starts going on this rant that he goes on is that the perception, the perception is the police aren't there to enforce a restraining order against her. The police are there to protect her from him.
Yeah,
that's the perception.
But then, not only that, John, why are you cussing the cops out? And they're protecting your rights. Like, seriously.
You were the one who called them.
Yeah, you called them. And they're sitting there, and they're not saying nothing. They're doing their job. They're doing what they're supposed to do, and you're just sitting there ranting. You know what somebody said yesterday that, and this morning, is that for Antonio Brown, he hasn't hit rock bottom yet. So it's not registering to him because he looks at it as he's in a position of power. And to a certain extent he is, you know, he's not hurting or anything.
Is this video so bad that every NFL team just took a pen and redlined him?
You know what, John? I talked to some friends of mine that are pretty close to the situation. And, you know, just saying, hey, man, what's going on with your boy? And they were like, he doesn't listen to anybody. Like, because he doesn't listen to anybody that's shooting him straight. And he wants to do what he wants to do. So if you're shooting him straight and he doesn't want to hear it, he doesn't speak to you. And the consensus is that he'll probably never play another down in the NFL. I hate to go that route and be that harsh with it, but we just talked about, we got a crop of young receivers coming out.
A lot of them.
A lot of that are pretty darn, like, on paper, look like they could be pretty darn good.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. So
if I'm a GM of a team and I have an opportunity to snag up one of these young receivers in their 20s that could potentially be Antonio Brown or even better, with no drama, I would probably take a chance on one of those guys.
And less money.
Yeah. A lot less money.
We'll keep our eyes on this. And you know, there were people reacting to this in all over the spectrum. There were some people that thought it was funny. I just thought it was sad.
It is sad. You know what else is sad? That some of the people don't have empathy or sympathy for somebody who is clearly going through something or clearly does not understand what he's doing, because like my man Daryl Ashurst last night. You know, Daryl's all about the kids, and he pointed out, like, man, you know, you're doing that in front of your kids, they will never forget that. Okay. They'll never forget that
video's going to live forever.
Yes, they will never forget the moment that you disrespected their mother like that, and you made her ride away in a police car. I'm snickering because I just can't believe. Like, Liz, I have baby mamas, and we've had issues. But one thing that I've never tried to do was let our kids see us have an issue, because that's something that when kids see that, whether or not it manifests itself directly, right then and there, they never forget that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're talking about calling people out their names and you know, using the B word and riding away in a police car, and it may, like, you shape the way that young men think about, you know, women or how they treat women. I mean, mm-hmm. It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to do that, and it's so cavalier about it, that's not a good look. That's not how you treat somebody that you've had children with, in my opinion.
Well, we've lost generational talent because of injury, because that's going to be part of the game. But we're also losing I don't know that it's now starting. We've had it probably happen before. But, you know, you think of Josh Gordon or Antonio Brown, four different reasons that you lose generational talent for demons. And that's part of the sad part of this. I mean, a lot of people want to scream at AB. You know, again, I'm not a mental health professional enough to know what's going on with him.
You know what? This is the unfortunate thing about it, because everybody.
Hugh, let me just say, I'm not sure that he's just necessarily just a bad guy. I think he's got other issues.
John, people go back to the Vontaze Burfict hit. That's what people point to when they talk about this AB thing. Mm-hmm. They talk about the Vontaze Burfict hit. And as, like I said, again, as a guy who has had some missteps in his life that's trying to get back on the right track, and when you're trying to get on the right track, you're always conscious about your next move. You're always conscious about how, if you do this, how potentially will it be perceived if it goes south. Okay, if I'm in the strip club, like just hypothetically, I go to the strip club and say a fight breaks out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the vicinity and something happens, a bottle's thrown, somebody gets hit, and I'm there. Hugh Douglas is at the strip club, somebody got hit with a bottle. Regardless if I did anything, if I'm there and they know it, everything that has happened to me in the past, that's cannon fodder. That helps a writer develop the story. Well, you know he was in trouble for this, this, and that, and the third. I just think that if you're in a situation like that, you do your best to steer clear of any situation that potentially could be damning for you.
And you certainly
forward.
Don't videotape it yourself post it to your IG.
But this is. But you know what? You know what's funny, John? This is the world that we live in, because we, like, what I think is, I mean, listen, you do what you want to do. You do what you want to do. That's your right. But when people videotape, like, video funerals and personal moments, like family members in hospital beds about to die and things of that nature, that people post those. I mean, you know, if that's what you do, that I just don't feel like intimate moments like that should be shared with everybody.
We have other questions in the NFL as we get back to our focus on the games this weekend, including asking Hugh about his former coach Big Red and whether or not this is finally his year. Some of the burning questions for the NFL championship games coming up next. Hey, by the way, listen for your cue to call for Matchbox 20 tickets all week long here on the morning show. When you hear us coming in or going out of break, and you hear a Matchbox 20 song, be the first caller to 404-741-0929, and you're going to win tickets to their show in August. So listen closely for Matchbox 20 bumper songs, in or out of breaks. First person that calls is going to win tickets to their show in August. All right, when we get back in a moment, those burning questions for the NFL playoffs and the championship games this Sunday, next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We stream 24/7, 365. Get the app or radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.